From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. And for today's episode of Naps Chat, we are honored to have Congressman Michael Bost of Illinois with us today. Good morning, Congressman.
Bob, it's good to be with you. Thank you very much for having me.
Congressman Bost is a third-term congressman from Southern Illinois. He was a first responder as a firefighter back home in his hometown of Murfreesboro, Illinois. Mr. Bost was also involved in trucking, and he has a family-owned business back home, the White House Salon.
That's correct. It had nothing to do with politics, just a big White House.
But you also served 20 years in the state Illinois State Legislature, and he currently serves on the Agriculture Committee, the Veterans Affairs Committee, and the Transportation and Infrastructure Committees. We'll get back to the Veterans Affairs Committee towards the end of our podcast. But I did want to talk with you as a sort of a kickoff question. One of the most important facets of relating to members of Congress and transacting political and legislative business is relationship building. And there were two NAPS members have developed a very close relationship with you. One is Ruthie Beale, who is now, I understand, a staff person in your office, mm-hmm. and also Dan Rendleman, who has had a tendency to ride in cars at parades that you're involved in.
Both have been involved with my life, and they're great friends, and early on supporters, and it's wonderful, one, to have them as friends, but it's also wonderful for their insight that they have in the Postal Service.
Yeah, can you talk to me about the importance of relationships in your involvement, A, with the Postal Service, but B, generally in legislation?
Understand this. With these jobs, whether it was as a state legislator or as a member of Congress, you're asked to know a lot about a lot of things. And trying to be an expert is almost impossible. But if you get to the people who have the inside knowledge, whether it's the Postal Service or whether it is health care, or the list goes on and on of each individual issue you might be dealing with, the personal relationship that you can develop with someone, like I do have with Dan and Ruthie, is it's such a help because they have been those frontline workers with the Postal Service. There are certain things that I have learned about the Postal Service since having this job that I didn't know and didn't understand. I know why it is that it's vitally important to make sure that we maintain the six-day delivery, explaining and understanding that, you know, when you're dealing with many of the private postal companies like UPS and everything like that, that they don't deliver the last mile, but the U.S. Postal Service does. And a lot of these issues allow me the opportunity then to not only develop those friendships that I have with them, but also to get the information I need to do this job correctly.
How do they communicate that information to you if they share their expertise and their knowledge of the Postal Service?
Well, one advantage is that because they're such dear friends, they can call my cell phone, obviously. But
now, you're not suggesting that all the NAPS members try to get
members. Matter of fact, most of them probably wouldn't give them. But that being said, when you have that close relationship, that does come about. Mm-hmm. But to communicate to your own legislator is they do make their visits to Washington, D.C. They make their visits to my district office. They set up those appointments. And they don't do it just in a case whenever you're in a mode where all of a sudden we see a large problem raising on the horizon, but a visit several times a year or a couple times a year to get the relationship in the position that when something would come up on the horizon, we can get instantly out.
There was a former congressman and a former senator, John Sununu of New Hampshire, once said, if you elect me and support me, you've got a good senator. If you work with me and you develop a relationship with me, you've got a good friend.
That's a good answer. And that's probably the best way to describe it. When you're elected, you serve the people who elect you. But we all work off of relationships. And if those relationships are developed into friendship, you get the ear of the person that is your friend which is quite often a whole lot better than just being your congressman person.
Let's talk about your district in Southern Illinois. How important is the Postal Service and the service it provides to your district?
Well, you got to realize that my district has both suburban and rural. The rural areas are just as I described a while ago, you know, are cases where UPS might not deliver down the long 1 mile lane that's 3 miles out of town, and but the U.S. Postal Service does, and my district is just that. It's rural. It is one of the most beautiful parts of Illinois because it isn't the flat. In the northern part, it is the flat Illinois. But when you get to Murfreesboro and farther south, it turns into rolling hills where you've got peach orchards, apple orchards, and vineyards, and it's just beautiful, but it's very rural. And quite often, many people come into the area and go into the backwoods places and go, wow, I didn't know there was any place like this. And if they don't know how to get there, sometimes GPS won't get them there.
Right. You know, most folks think that Illinois is Chicago. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm 6.5 hours from Chicago, so.
Right. What's the largest city by?
Well, we have all the Metro East area out of St. Louis.
Okay.
So that is that's a whole group of towns. Everything from Alton and O'Fallon, East St. Louis, Belleville, all of these towns. But then, as you go south, you have all of the rural areas. We remember the furthest south town is a town that is actually suffering pretty now. It's Cairo. Mm-hmm. Where the Mississippi and Ohio come together. Like I said, I'm from Murfreesboro, which is 6 miles away from Carbondale, which is home for Southern Illinois University.
A former senator came from Carbondale, Paul Simon,
yes, he
as
did.
I recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, he came from Makanda, which is a suburb of Carbondale.
He always identified Carbondale as his hometown.
Yeah, because you really had to know where Makanda was.
Now, let's talk about a couple of bills that you co-sponsored that... when you co-sponsor a bill, you lend your name to it. You lend not only your support to it. One is House Resolution 23, which maintains door delivery.
Correct.
How important is that to your district, and do you think important to the country?
Well, let me tell you that at a time whenever we're having a discussion for the boxes at the end of the lane, instead multiple boxes in construction sites or for in neighborhoods actually now is what the proposal was. We want to make sure that door delivery is vitally important, and the reason it's vitally important is quite often delivering to seniors, they might have to have their medication, they can't get out of the house, they can get to the front door, or someone can get to the front door for them, but if they have to go drive down to the end of a lane and try to make that pickup, they might not be able to do that. So it is vitally important to make sure that we maintain that delivery.
For non-medical products, do you think that not having door delivery, forcing you to go to a cluster box or some type of multiple unit, box unit, devalues a regular piece of mail because you have to go for it?
It makes it more difficult per se, and I think that the Postal Service has always provided a great service, and that great service allows you the opportunity to open your front door. Now I know the rural area is a little different because you got to go to the mailbox, but you open the front door and reach out and get your mail. Of course, it's also sometimes with the amount of packages and the item that might be in that package, it is less dangerous to have a theft or have a problem if it is right at the door.
Now let's talk about another bill, House Resolution 53, the maintenance of 6-day delivery, reducing it to 5.
Once again, it's the convenience and the thought of the fact that if you had a weekend that was a 2-day weekend rather than a 1-day weekend on your postal delivery, whenever you maybe need something that has to be there in your hand, having it be able to be there on a Saturday, having it be able to be available to you, I think is a vitally important and something that we've become pretty used to. And I don't want to get away from it. I want to make sure that the 6-day delivery does occur. And I think that is necessary in this nation and the world today.
Now, there's also House Resolution 33, which is opposed to POVL privatization. Why is it important that the Postal Service remain to be a government entity?
Because as a time when electronics change and everything else is changing, it would be very easy for a private sector to not provide the quality service that is expected that we have come to know in our United States. Remember, and I know that they could, I guess, do it through private service, but I think that the Constitution is very clear that remember, it's the only agency that's guaranteed in the Constitution. And so because of that, it should be under the purview of we, the people, underneath the government, not under a private sector.
And clearly, former President Abe Lincoln, who was a postmaster for a very small period of time, truly believed that. Coming from the land of Lincoln.
That's right. And it is fact. I mean, it is very clear. Many people, of course, remember when we start talking about the Constitution, around this place, it's the most quoted, least read document that is out there. That being said, this is the agency that says we will maintain in the Constitution. So it's vitally important.
Right? Now, the pieces of legislation I just referenced were House resolutions, which express senses of the House of Representatives. They're not necessarily binding. But there's one piece of legislation which would have a tremendous impact, positive impact on the Postal Service, and that is H.R. 2382, which would eliminate the requirement to prefund retiree health benefits.
Right.
You were a co-sponsor of that legislation also, and we thank you so much for your support in that bill.
Let me explain that I understand these pensions and are the benefits that are paid into. Let me tell you that in the state of Illinois, you've got them underfunded. This case, it's well overfunded. Matter of fact, they are funding it for three and four generations in advance right now, and at a time when the general public is speaking out and many political people are speaking out and on the fact that they need to find ways to make it more efficient to operate the Postal Service and everything like that, it makes no sense to have to pay so many years in advance for something when it, if we're 100 if we fully if we're funded at 90 or 100%, you're good.
Now, I want to ask you something what might be unique about Illinois. There are three Republican members of the Illinois congressional delegation, yourself, Congressman Rodney Davis, and Congressman Shimkus, who are all supporting these pieces of legislation. Mm-hmm. How do you sort of explain why in Illinois, the GOP congressional delegation is so attuned to postal services? I mean, not to in any way diminish any of the other states, but What is unique about Illinois?
Well, let me tell you the uniqueness of those three districts. Those three districts are rural, large districts where we know the people in our postal service and we work with them on a regular basis. And as we talked about earlier, all three of us have developed great friendships with people that are involved in the U.S. Postal Service.
That's wonderful to hear, because it's all about relationships.
It really is.
Yeah, where we started. Now, what I did tell you today is I wasn't going to talk about partisanship and politics, I want to talk about this. Just the sense is, and I spoke with Congressman Meadows around a month and a half ago about this issue, that whereas there is considerable partisanship in this town, particularly in the House of Representatives, postal issues generally have been above politics mm-hmm. and above partisanship. There's sort of a civil discourse that occurs on issues concerning the Postal Service. Do you think that the partisanship that's sort of dominating now will impact support of the Postal Service?
I hope not. I don't think so. And the reason why I don't think so, there are certain areas. If you remember the three committees you read off that I'm on, Transportation, Veterans Affairs, and Ag, those three committees, to be partisan in those committees, you've got to look to be partisan. Because these are issues that don't actually open the door to an argument between Republicans and Democrats to that level, because the issues are very clearly defined on what we've got to do or not do. And the same thing occurs when we were talking about postal issues. It's a service that must be provided to all of the people, We don't care whether they're Republican, Democrat, Independent. If they've got a post office box, if they have a home where they're having postal deliveries, they want that service there when it needs to be. They want it affordable. They want to know and can trust what it will happen, that your post person will be able to get the mail to them on a regular basis, and they always can trust in that. And if anything that was going to violate that in any way, then it doesn't matter whether we're Democrat or Republican, we want to make sure that doesn't happen.
The consistency we've heard from both Democratic and Republican members of the House and the Senate on this issue is that you got to establish a firewall between all these other issues and a universally affordable and accessible postal service, because
Correct.
That is something, as you referenced, is constitutionally required.
Correct.
That Congress, not the president, not the courts, Congress is responsible for establishing post offices and post roads. So it's a congressional responsibility.
That is correct. And we have the best in the world, and we want to make sure it remains that way.
Right. My last question to you is your position on the Veterans Affairs Committee. Now, ordinarily, we wouldn't associate the Postal Service with the Veterans Affairs Committee, but I'm curious about your impression or your take on that the Postal Service is probably the largest employer in the country of people who have served our country in the military.
Well, let me tell you, that's wonderful that they are, and that's the way it should be. Here's why. One, it is a benefit to both. One, you are providing a job to someone who has served the nation, and that job is a job that is secure for the future, that you can make sure there's a job that is a good-paying job that has benefits that will last a lifetime. But not only that, the post office, the postal system as a whole gets the advantage. Because when someone comes out of the military, 99.9% of the time, they have a work ethic that is established. They have a loyalty to the person that is employing them. And they have the ability to reason and learn and understand and be committed to doing the job that's put before them. Any employer, and believe me, I have been that employer, knows how important that is to have the trustworthy person that's there and available. And the fact that many of our veterans actually serve their time in the military and then come and go to work for the Postal Service is a very, very positive thing.
Well, Congressman, I want to thank you for taking time to speak with NAPS members today. I know that Ruthie Beal and Dan Rendleman thank you for your support of issues that are that impact their lives and at the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and we wish you only the best.
Well, thank you for having me on, and I want to thank them for what they do, not only Dan and Ruthie, but all the postal workers that are out there and the supervisors that are out there.
Thank you, Congressman. Hi, this is Bob Levy again, and I wanted to alert NAPS Chat listeners of the results of a recently concluded Universal Postal Union Congress, which was convened as a result of the possibility that the United States would leave the 190-country organization over the issue of international postage rates. I am pleased to inform you that on September 25th, that is this past Wednesday, the Universal Postal Union voted to approve a compromise proposal. Consequently, the United States agreed to remain a UPU member. As you might recall, last year, President Trump threatened that the United States would quit the UPU if it did not change the way in which international postage rates were determined, and that was primarily for small packages. Leaving the Universal Postal Union would have been disruptive to the international mailing community. Moreover, it would have impacted American citizens who vote overseas through mail ballots. And also it would impact U.S. mailers who send products to foreign countries. Historically, the United States Postal Service has subsidized foreign postage for inbound parcels. Most notably, subsidies flow to the Chinese because a lot of packages and mail originates in China. The Postal Service estimates that the subsidy totals about $300 to $500 million. On Tuesday, this past Tuesday, the 24th of September, the UPU voted down an initial United States proposal that would have permitted UPU member countries to immediately implement self-declared postage for inbound parcels. That would have meant that each country could establish its own postage rates for processing and delivering international mail within their borders. However, on Wednesday, that would have been the 25th of September, the UPU approved by voice vote a compromise proposal that would permit the United States to self-declare rates in July 2020, and other countries could begin their phase-in of self-declared rates in the summer of 2021. The bottom line is that the United States Postal Service will remain in the Universal Postal Union, and the Postal Service will no longer have to subsidize the postage of large mail-exporting countries. On that parting note, we look forward to speak with you next week on Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna